the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated. Today we talk just for a moment about faith and doubt. And specifically with doubt and this question that Abram asks, how do I know? How shall I know? Our first reading concerns Abram, who, as far as I can tell, is the first real character that gets any development in the Bible. Right? The first person we get to know as a person. And the Abram we know from the Hebrew Bible as well as from the New Testament is a paragon of faith, just a model of faith for us, a hero of the faith. Now, in the chapter prior to the one we read from this morning, a gang of warlords had kidnapped Abram's nephew, Lot, and taken him off. And so Abram had gathered together some of his own men and some of his neighbor's men and put together kind of an impromptu special forces team, had pursued those warlords and subdued them and brought back his nephew, Lot. Now the neighbors who were part of this fighting force recognized Abram's leadership and Abram's strength and said, oh, you should take the spoils that we got from this battle. And Abram said, no. He said, let the fighting men take, you know, the portion that belongs to them, but I rely on God to provide for my wealth. I was just here to save Lot. And so this is the context where we enter today's reading, right? Abram has expressed this great faith in God, his provider, the one who takes care of him. Abram has shown great courage. And so God, in our passage today, says to Abram, right on. He says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your strength. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram does a funny thing, right? For a paragon of faith. Abram doesn't just say, okay. Instead, Abram says, yeah, but there's something wrong here. Right? This isn't quite adding up. Abram lived in a culture where wealth was calculated in terms of generations. Right? For any individual to have money or property of livestock was fine, but without children, it was kind of pointless because it wasn't going anywhere. And so Abram has great faith. He's demonstrated this on the battlefield, literally. And Abram also has doubt. Because God is making these promises to Abram, and Abram says, those sound great, but they're not adding up. He says, how shall I know? How do I make sense of this? And so, in our first reading, Abram has a vision. Right? Abram falls into a deep sleep. Abram enters this terrifying darkness. And it's fascinating, because we don't know if what Abram saw by waking up or in his sleep. Who knows? The text is ambiguous on this point. But what we know is that God had directed Abram to set up for a bloody ritual. Right? He said, go get these animals, cut them in half, and lay them out. A lovely sight. But this was a known convention. This was the way people did things. This, in fact, was the way that kings made covenants with each other. Right? We talk about cutting a deal. The Hebrew term for making a covenant is to cut a covenant. And it was cut in the flesh of these animals. And so what normally happened was that they would cut the animals and then the two kings would walk between the two halves of the animals. It was like a death curse, right? Cross my heart, hope to die. That's what it was. These two kings would walk between the animals, and what they were saying was, if I break this covenant I'm making with you, I'm going to be like these animals. Right? I'm forfeiting my life if I break this covenant. And so God's revelation to Abram is fascinating because God is using just a standard boilerplate form that Abram knows. He's seen this before, but with a twist. Because Abram doesn't walk between those animals. Right? Only God does. God makes this covenant unilaterally, as if to say, it doesn't matter what you do, this is what I'm going to do. This is my promise to you, Abram. It's not up to Abram, it's God's free choice. And God makes this promise to Abram of a long life and of satisfaction and after him of children and land for those children. Abram had acted and acted on faith. And then when God promised to Abram the impossible, and Abram said, what? God then gave Abram signs of assurance. And those promises God made to Abram were fulfilled, and they continue in fulfillment even in us as Christians. When you were baptized, you were added to the children of Abraham. Now, I wonder if you notice how God's covenant with Abram prefigures the work of Christ. Right here in the season of Lent, as we prepare for Holy Week and our remembrance of the Passion, Jesus' crucifixion and death, God swore to Abram to fulfill this promise and that God's very life would be forfeit if God failed. And then, during Holy Week, as we celebrate the Passion of Jesus Christ, we remember how God in the flesh did die. That promise to Abram was already being fulfilled, and especially with the addition of Christians to the covenant, it was being increased radically in numbers. Right? God told Abram, your children will be like the stars of the sky. But in Jesus, God chose to make an even broader covenant, to include more people. And once again, God used God's own death to signify the seriousness of this covenant. Its veracity, its truthfulness, its reliability. God's own full self-commitment to this covenant. And so in our first reading today, Abram received a sign, a vision of God's commitment to Abram. And likewise, in the Passion of Jesus Christ, we have received a sign and a vision, an invitation to continue noticing God's presence and activity in our life, God's faithfulness to us, an invitation to count our blessings and not just to name them one by one, but to savor them, to recognize them as signs of God's love for you, to receive them as promises, as signs of God's covenant, God's care for you. And so today we talk about Abram and we talk about faith and doubt and how they're two sides of the same coin. You can't have faith without doubt. I don't think you can have doubt without faith. They go together. They were certainly part of Abram's life, and they are certainly part of the Christian life today. There is a time to step out boldly in faith, as Abram did back in Genesis 14, going to war to save his nephew Lot. And there's also a time for doubt, to ask how? Why? What is this? The way Abram did in our reading today. Or the way that the Blessed Mother Mary did at the Annunciation. Or the way that Jesus did at Gethsemane. For each of us, the memories that we dwell on, right, the stories that we hold on to, the experiences that we have and that we recall, These shape us. These color our encounters with the future. They almost are predictive of how we're going to encounter the world. And so in prayer, in worship, in reflection, in testimony, telling our stories, in all these ways, we choose which stories, which ideas to hold on to recall reflections of God's activity. And by these stories, we are empowered to live in a way that reflects God's loving power at work in us. The stories we tell, they change who we are and who we're becoming. In these stories, we bind to ourselves ways of knowing God, ways of knowing ourselves, ways of knowing the world. These stories, these memories, these are how we come to know God's faithful care for us. These are how we find the reality of God reflected in our own lives as we live among others. How shall I know? We know by listening, by remembering, by reflecting on the ways that God is already at work in your life and in mine.